Deacon Stephen Cato.
Good morning. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the scriptures that was read. We pray, Lord, that as we are about to look into your word, we pray for the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit, so that in all things you would have the preeminence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. From the pulpit to television to YouTube to Instagram and so on, counsel is given. We are currently living in an age of information overload. We can access the internet and get information on just about anything. Gone are the days where we would go to the library and spend many hours for research. The internet is a place of immediate information. Ask any young person about ChatGPT. ChatGPT can tell you just about anything, from what to take to a Pacific country for vacation to writing our college paper on any subject. But be careful now, because some of this information that we access is actually good, while some of this information may not be as good, and we should not be used by Christians. Because of social media and digital platforms, everyone seems to have a voice these days. Sadly, some of these voices on social media are giving advice on subject matters that they know very little about. We all need advice. There are times in our lives when we are all faced with tough decisions, and we need good, sound advice. Who is giving us advice? Who is giving you advice? Well, sometimes we look to someone we trust. It could be a family member, a long-term friend, a pastor, a church confidant, or even a professional for this advice. We all want good advice, but we must be very careful where we get our advice from, because the decisions we make could have long-term consequences. The Lord has told us in His Word that He will guide us in the decisions that we make. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Whatever decisions we need to make, we are confident knowing that we serve an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, to direct us. Let's look again at 1 Kings chapter 12. King David is dead. His son, King Solomon, is dead. And now King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, is now king. King Solomon treated the people of Israel harshly. He enforced hard labor and high taxes. When Rehoboam went to Shechem to be crowned king, Rehoboam was issued an ultimatum by the people of Israel. If Rehoboam lessens the burden, the people of Israel will serve him. If Rehoboam doesn't lessen the burden, they will revolt. Rehoboam asked the people for 3 days to think it over. Rehoboam first consulted with the elders that had served his father, and they told him to treat the people kindly and lighten the burden, and the people will serve him. He then consulted with the young man whom he grew up with. These young men told him to increase the burden on the people. Rehoboam had a decision to make: to accept the advice of the wise elders or the advice of his young friends. Rehoboam decided to reject the advice of the older and wiser men. Instead, he took the advice of the young, arrogant friends. Rehoboam's friends, told him exactly what he wanted to hear. How many times have we accepted the advice of people just because they told us what we wanted to hear, even though we knew that the advice they gave was not the best advice? Now, there is no mention in the Bible of Rehoboam going to God in prayer and asking God for guidance. Again, I ask you, who is giving you advice? As I mentioned to you before, the decisions that we make could have long-term consequences. In Rehoboam's case, his decision to oppress the people had long-term consequences because the people revolted. Israel was then divided into two kingdoms: a northern kingdom, which lasted 209 years, and a southern kingdom, Judah, which lasted 345 years. Mark 3:25 tells us that, "And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Rehoboam became king of the southern kingdom, which only had two tribes, while Jeroboam became king of the northern kingdoms, which had 10 tribes. However, the northern kingdom had a total of 19 kings, and not one of these kings of the northern kingdom feared God. You heard what I just said? The northern kingdom had 19 kings, a total of 19 kings, and not one of these kings feared God. The division of Rehoboam's kingdom led to the political, spiritual, and military decline of the people of Israel. It ultimately led to the downfall of both kingdoms. We must be careful where we get our advice from. We should always seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11, verse 14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." What is godly counsel? Better yet, how do we know if we are receiving godly counsel? Some characteristics of godly counsel. Number one, godly counsel refers to advice, guidance, or wisdom that aligns with God's truth, his character, and his purpose. It is the application of God's word to our decision-making process. Godly counsel is consistent with Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Godly counsel is accompanied by prayer. It should come after prayer and spiritual discernment. James 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Godly counsel helps us make decisions that honor God. Let me say that again. Godly counsel helps us make decisions that honor God. It reflects Christ's character, and it leads us to a closer relationship with Christ. Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Therefore, a godly counselor will offer counsel with wisdom and discernment rooted in their relationship with God. A godly counselor will offer counsel grounded in the scripture and seeks God's will, not just giving their own opinion. This counsel will come with integrity and love and acts in your best interest. So when correction is given in a godly way, it comes with love and patience and is not judgmental or condemning. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Seeking godly or wise counsel is a sign of maturity and humility. The Holy Spirit should be the driving force in godly counsel. The Holy Spirit guides believers in all truth. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, hath come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jethro's advice to Moses is an example of godly counsel. We see that in Exodus 18, and I'm going to read a few verses in Exodus 18, beginning from verse 14. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God." Verse 17, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you." Verse 21, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers. I'll stop there. When Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, saw the tremendous task that fell before Moses in judging the people, he advised Moses to select God-fearing men. These men should be of high character in order to assist them. This would ease the burden on Moses, thus enabling God's work to be handled more efficiently. Jethro's advice was wise counsel to Moses on how to delegate responsibilities. This advice was rooted in the practical wisdom and concern for Moses' well-being and effectiveness as a leader. Jethro's counsel was rooted in his relationship with God, thus honoring God. Again, I ask you, who is giving you advice? Does the advice you are receiving contradict the word of God? Does the advice you are receiving lead to discord and destruction, as in the case of Rehoboam? If that's the case, you are receiving ungodly or unwise counsel. Ungodly counsel is given without prayer or little mention of the Bible. Ungodly counsel contradicts the word of God. It can normalize sin and take away our accountability to God. it views God as such a loving God who has no demand for holiness. For example, there are many people who believe that good works is enough to get them into heaven. But we all know that you only could get to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. Ungodly counsel relies on human reasoning rather than divine revelation. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The Bible warns us from seeking ungodly counsel. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The counsel of the ungodly refers to individuals who do not fear God and who offer guidance contrary to the word of God. We need to be very careful because the counsel of the ungodly can manifest itself into various forms, such as peer pressure, the media, family members, and what we sometimes call cultural norms. Many of us are from different cultural backgrounds, and there are many things that we call cultural norms that are ungodly. What happens when we seek ungodly counsel? It leads to misguided decisions. We read early in 1 Kings 12 that the decision Rehoboam made led to the division and destruction of the kingdom. Ungodly counsel can lead to spiritual compromise. Spiritual compromise is a result of us sacrificing our faith for earthly rewards such as money, love, social status, etc. Spiritual compromise hurts our testimony. It affects our prayer life, it affects our fellowship with God, and it leads to self-destruction. In 1 Kings chapter 11, God told Solomon not to intermarry with the heathen nations. Solomon disobeyed, and he intermarried. And because of his disobedience and spiritual compromise, Solomon began worshiping their gods. Job's wife's advice to him is an example of ungodly counsel. Job 2, verses 9 and 10. Then his wife, meaning Job's wife, said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job faced immense suffering after losing his children and his wealth. After his body was afflicted with painful sores, Job's wife advised him to curse God and die. Her advice reflected her lack of faith in God's plan. Job rejected her counsel and affirmed his commitment to God. Job's refusal to follow his wife's misguided advice emphasizes the need for wise counsel in times of trouble. Because of Job's faith in God, God blessed Job. His possessions were doubled. God also doubled his family size. He lived to be 140 years old, and he lived to see his children and grandchildren of four generations. Who is giving you advice? The advice we choose can greatly shape our future. As believers in Christ, we are encouraged to seek godly counsel in all areas of our life. If we trust God to save us from our sins, we should trust God for wise counsel. The Bible's profound insight causes us to face and solve problems in the wisest way. However, all situations in life are not specifically addressed by Scripture, but the answers to the riddles and problems of life lies with God. Amen. Therefore, we should seek godly counsel. The examples of unwise counsel in the Bible serve as important lessons. They remind us of the dangers of listening to deceptive or unwise advice. Poor decisions can lead to dire consequences. We must be discerning in whom we choose to trust for guidance, to avoid pitfalls that come from bad counsel. If you are here this afternoon and you're looking for advice for your problems, you are in the right place. I would like to let you know that Jesus is the answer to all the problems of life. Maybe you made mistakes in the past, but Jesus can give you the confidence to go forward. If you would like to know how Jesus can problem solve for you, speak to the person next to you or to the person who invited you to listen to this Zoom broadcast, and they can direct you to someone who can show you from God's word how Jesus can solve all the problems of your life. Amen.